notes and write some things down. Otherwise, you're going to be in the Bible and open your Bible. We're going to have you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So you turn to 1 Corinthians 4. Our series is on the subject of stewardship. We started this last week, 3 weeks series. It follows after 10 weeks of talking about our inner spiritual life, the qualities that Jesus wants to build in our life. Then there was Easter Sunday. Knowing that we want to become like Jesus, we should be really grateful, and that was Easter. We celebrated the fact that Jesus has died for us, and if he truly has taken ownership of your life, in other words, you're truly a Christian, you're not just a churchgoer. If you're truly a Christian where you've repented of your sin, put your faith and your trust in Jesus, it should make a difference in your life. That Easter then leads into this three-week series. Well, what difference should it make in my life? We've talked about the internal for 10 weeks. Now we're talking about the external. That stewardship should be seen in our lives in three primary areas. We talked about the area of time, how we use our time, how we use our day to honor him and to help others. Then we said that today we're talking about talents, our natural gifts and our spiritual gifts the Lord's given to us. He wants us not to use for ourselves, for our own benefit, to use in our church and in our community. And next week, we're talking about treasures. God has entrusted certain things to us that are very, very valuable. And all of these he expects us to use. That's the subject of stewardship. So you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. I'll come there in just a moment. Here's what we said last week to recap it. It's found in Psalm 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's. Planet Earth, really the universe belongs to God. And everything in it, okay? Everything. Everything you can think of means everything. The world and all who what? Who live. That includes you and I. There's nothing that you have in your possession that is yours. It's entrusted to you. God's the owner. We're the stewards. Now, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Let me put that up there here. Here's what it says. Now, it's required that those who have been given a trust, God's entrusted you with time, talents, and treasures, things that are valuable to him, we must, what? Prove faithful. Now, that's a summary of last week. To understand stewardship, you can think of three words. And if you're writing stuff down, it'd be really smart to write these three words down. The first word is responsibility. God has entrusted to us. It says it's required of those who have been given a what? A trust. He's given certain things to us. We have a responsibility. These are not our things. We have a responsibility. God's entrusted things to us. The second word is opportunity. It says a trust must what? Prove. You have opportunities throughout your life to use time. What are we talking about today? Talents. And next week we're talking about treasure. Oh, I'm going to skip next week. He must be talking about money. We're not talking about money next week. What are we not talking about? Money. Okay, so you can come to church next week and not feel guilty. All right? So we have opportunities every day of our life to use these things, and it's God's expectation that we use them according to his wishes. So responsibility, second word was opportunity. Here's the third word, accountability. Accountability. God will hold you and I as his children, as his spiritual family, accountable for what we do with what he has entrusted to us. If he didn't entrust you with a particular thing, you don't have to worry about it. You're not what? Accountable. What, he didn't give it to you. If you've been given anything in terms of time, talent, treasures, we're not talking about money. Thank you. All those other things, he will hold us accountable for. This is different than him judging people for their sin. When you become a Christian, your sins are forgiven. But your opportunities are what he's going to hold you accountable for. It's no different than what you and I do with our families. If a child has not carried out their responsibility, don't you hold them accountable? Yes or no? It's in every area of your life we're held accountable. So why would you think God's just going to say, do whatever you want? He doesn't. So understanding that, we're looking at the subject of talents today. Okay? The subject of talents today. Think of your talent, whatever it was you talked about. Some of you were so shy, so humble, you didn't talk about the fact that you're really good. There are people here who can make money. We're not talking about money next week, but there are people here who can make money. Most of you are really good. Your talent is spending money. We just need more people to make money. But that can be a talent because you see a really good deal, you can negotiate, etc. I watched this on TV, this little short video when this guy first appeared on America's Got Talent, and I thought, this guy is an amazing magician. He may be the best I've ever seen. His name is Eden Choi. Watch this. Tell me if this guy's not talented. Now, I don't know about you, but that's talent. Now, there's two questions going through your mind. First question is, how did he? Second question, probably only the women here are thinking about, who's cleaning up that mess? That's talent. Do you think he was probably born with a higher degree of dexterity than most of us? You think? But do you think he had to practice to do that? I've watched that video more than a dozen times. I have card tricks that I do that are good. Not sleight of hand, card tricks. I've got one card trick since I was a high school senior. I figured this out for one of my teachers. Nobody has ever figured it out. I think, Amy, did I ever teach that to you? I taught her and my son, so when I die, somebody else carries a son. But I can't do that. Can you? There's always somebody better than me and you. We're talking about talents. The talents God's given you may not be that spectacular, but they're your talent. And he expects that you use those. So that's what we're talking about, talents. When we talk about talents, big category includes spiritual and includes natural abilities that God has given us. Now, you should have caught this last week. The reason that God has given us time, the reason he's given us talents is really for three things. To honor him. Say, honor him. To help others. Say it. And to harmonize my life with his. Say that. Harmonize my life with his. That's called alliteration. Three H's. Why? That way Don can remember it. We're here to honor him, to help others, and harmonize my life with his. God's created us intentionally. Each of us are unique. There's no other you on planet Earth. There never has been another you, and there never will be another you. You're it. Sad. But see, some of us want to beat ourselves up and say, oh, I wish I was somebody else. Do you realize that before anything else was created, back in eternity past, God thought about you and created you the way you are. Now, what you do with you can either honor God or dishonor God, but you're it. And you've got to ask yourself a simple question. Why? Why would God create you the way you are in your family, living in America at this time period and not 100 years previous, not 100 years from now? Why? Say why. Why? It's a great question. Here's what David said, King David, in Psalm 139, verse 14. Psalm 139, 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully what? Now, it doesn't matter whether you feel that or not. It'd be nice if you did. God says, you're it. You're an expression of my mind, an expression of my heart. You're it. And you may not feel that way. You ever get a gift from somebody and you just went, yeah, I think we all have. Have we? But when you go, did you ever really think about the person who gave it to you and the thought that they put into it and the money that they saved? No, it generally tends to be very self-centered when we say, about a gift. But God created you, and for us to not worship Him because of the gift of life that we have would be pretty selfish. David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully what? Made. You're made. You did not evolve. Okay? You did not evolve. Well, I tend to think, okay, don't prove your stupidity here in church. Okay? Don't try to do that here. God says, I made you. I gave you the gift of life. I created you. Your works, David says to God, are wonderful. I know that full well. Full well. Do you? Do you realize how unique you are, how special you are? If I could create any child, a parent has often thought, as they look at their current batch, Dave, if you could create the perfect child, what would you create? Now, doesn't mean you don't love your kids, but I think any parent has always looked at their kids going, man, we messed up there. Oh, well, gotta love them, right? If you could create something that's perfect, what would it look like? How would that child sound? You'd want a golden retriever, the type of kid that walks right next to you going, Mom, Dad, you're wonderful. I just adore you. I don't know what you would want, but God made you perfectly you. When we begin to compare ourselves with others, we get ourselves into trouble and we dishonor God's gift, which is your life. Look in the mirror sometime and say, God created me as I am. I need to love me more and I need to be more grateful to Him. You realize God made you because He has a plan for your life. Here's what Jesus said in John 15, verse 16, has a plan for your life. Why did He create me the way that I am? He has a what? A plan for who? For you. Look at this verse. You did not choose me, Jesus says, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go what? He has a plan for your life. And it goes on. Fruit that will last. See, God has an eternal plan. He didn't create you to live 50 years, 70 years, 5 years here on earth and turn back into dust. He created you for eternity to be with Him, but He created you so that you can bring others into eternity. That's a pretty cool plan. It says, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. If we live according to God's plan and honor Him, there's a greater likelihood He's going to look down from heaven and say, oh, I heard that prayer, I'll answer it. Because in the book of James, it gives us several reasons why our prayers are never answered, because we ask them in a selfish manner, or we ask them not even believing. Jesus is saying, you live according to my plan, and you honor my Father, guess what? He'll respond. Same way any of us would to our children. When they're grateful, when they're appreciative, when they're living obediently, don't we tend to honor them a little bit more than when they're a nerd and acting disobediently? Look at what the Apostle Paul wrote, Ephesians chapter 2. For we are God's what? Handiwork. The word handiwork literally is like a poem that expresses the will and the passion of somebody. Or you could think of a sculptor who puts their, you know, they're thinking about something beautiful, something creative, and they go, I will do it this way. You're God's expression. Unique expression in a unique period of time for a very unique, one-of-a-kind mission. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to sit on our butts, to take up space, to live selfishly, to be grumpy. Is that what it says? What does it say? What does it say? To do what? To do good works, which God prepared, catch that, in advance. Before anything else was created, He already had you in mind. Wow. Makes you sort of what? hopefully you're thinking the word special. The idea behind handiwork refers to being a unique masterpiece formed by an artist, a sculptor, a writer, a craftsman, or a musician. It's a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. When I was dating my first wife, Sherry, I wanted to impress her. She was a Delton girl. I was a Springfield boy. I wanted to show her how cool the city boys were. I worked at Volcano Pizza, Battle Creek, and Columbia Avenue. I was the manager. Ooh. You don't get to be a manager unless you can make pizzas and make them good and throw them through the air and entertain people. I said, baby, come and watch me at work. So she came in with her girlfriend. This is what I made her. She married me because I could make a heart-shaped pizza. I think that's about the only reason. Do you realize you can't just do that from day one? You have to learn to make the dough so the dough actually stretches and you can do stuff with it. I made her a heart-shaped pizza, and I just remember the little look on her face as I brought, I didn't make her come up and I carried it to her. Her girlfriend went, oh, plopped that sucker down and said, you have to pay at the counter, went back. We should be able to say this to somebody, you're a real piece of work. Have you ever heard that? Okay, that's the negative one. You should be able to look at somebody and say, you are a masterpiece. Look at somebody at your table and say, you're a masterpiece. Do it. Each of us are an expression of God, His will, not to use it for yourself. You are God's instrument on planet Earth for a very short period of time. And the question you need to ask yourself today is, am I doing anything with my time last week or with my talents this week? You could say that we're shaped. Have you ever heard, in the Christian sense, we use the word shape. You are shaped. That's your life. That's your history. That is your talent. That's your talents. And here's what you need to understand. We are shaped. Shaped for what? We're shaped with a purposeful intent. God didn't just take a bunch of protoplasm, put it together, and go, there you are. He thought about each of us. Each of us. Purposeful intent. With a unique what? And the sad thing is, as I talk to people that have been saved for years and years, even decades, they have no clue what God's plan is for their life. Well, you'll never uncover God's plan for your life if you're living selfishly, sinfully, or in a disobedient manner. That's why we spent 10 weeks learning to be the type of person Jesus wants you to be. When we become the person God wants us to be and we allow Him to begin shaping our life, and then we're truly grateful to Him because of Easter Sunday, now we begin to understand and can discover the plan. And what kind of plan is it? Unique. Say the word unique. It's unique. One of a kind. Why would He do that? Because it benefits the master. This is Christianity is never about you. It's always about God, how God wants to use you to honor Him and to help others. And in the process, you harmonize your life to be more and more like Him. It benefits the master. He has a plan. And it accomplishes His what? His mission. In the Christian world, we take the word shape or shaped. We've been shaped by Him with a D. And I'm going to use it as an acrostic. Some might call this an acronym. It could be either or according to the specialist. An acronym or an acrostic takes a word and takes each letter and either gives a word or a thought to it. So we're going to look at the letter S, the letter H, etc. You have to understand your shape. It'd be a terrible thing to go through life and never know your God-given purpose. It is far more than you having a job and making money and stuffing it in a 401k. Be in shape means there's more to your life than running your kids all over God's green earth to some junior high or sixth grade sport camp or band camp. Being shaped means you don't just get up in the morning, eat your food, and go to sleep at night, only to repeat for the next 30 or 40 years mindlessly. You're shaped for a unique purpose. And when I discovered God's will for my life, it totally changed the course of my life. Everything I began to think and do revolved around the plan that He revealed to me. And what I'm going to tell you today is how you can discover God's unique plan for your life. You are shaped. Say the word shaped with a D. S stands for spiritual gifts. Your notes. Spiritual gifts. Here's a question for you. What do you do that brings about spiritual change in others? Now, a lot of you, you couldn't answer that because you don't know. A person asked me that question. What are you doing right now where you're seeing God use you in somebody else's life? And you're seeing supernatural change in the person. Either they take an interest in God, they pray to receive Christ, you see them start growing and reading their Bible and praying, you see them jump into a ministry in a church or doing something in the community, that's supernatural change. I was saved 2 weeks at best, went to see two of my friends immediately. As soon as I was able to find time in my schedule, I went to them and sat down, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus has changed my life. They knew who I was. They didn't know what God wanted, and I began to share Christ with them. The more I shared Christ with people, I began to see people turn positive towards the Lord or accept the Lord. Some rejected it. But I began to see that God could use me in the life of other people for eternity's sake. Have you looked at your life and said, I see God working in my life? Spiritual gifts are for that purpose. They're a God-given. This is nothing you're born with. At conversion, God gives you a gift or gifts. A gift or gifts. Everybody has at least one, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Everybody's got a gift or gifts. It'd be a sad commentary for you to go through your entire existence on earth as a Christian and not realize your gift or actually use your gift. The gifts He's given us are to honor Him, to help, say help, help others, and harmonize your life with His. You become more like Him. Many of you have gifts, we would say natural gifts and talents. You can dribble a basketball. You can chew gum and walk. Whatever that may be, we all have, we just had you share those. Your skills and your abilities do this for you. They provide a career. They cause people to get excited and cheer. Think of sports, band, arts, etc. They can create a business. They can educate a mind. You could be a teacher. That's your gift. They can help you earn a paycheck. You can accomplish great things on planet Earth, but they'll never bring about anything spiritual in the life of someone else. And you need to ask yourself, where's the evidence of God working through you in the life of somebody else? It just, if you've been a Christian for any period of time and you're coming up empty there, it's because you probably haven't discovered your gift, haven't thought about it, no one's told you about it, you haven't discovered it, you haven't developed it, and you're not using it. The minute you discover your spiritual gift, your life changes. Because then you see the power of God utilizing you to bring about amazing, amazing things in the lives of others. So while you use your natural talents, you can do a lot of stuff on planet Earth, but none of the stuff you do on planet Earth, trust me, will ever go to heaven. There's only one thing you can take to heaven, and that's people. Think about that. Your money, your clothes, your car. all going to be left here. So you might as well wear it out, because you're not taking it with you. All you can take is what? Good question. If you're using your spiritual gifts, you are helping people to find God. You say, I don't know that there's any evidence of that in my life. We've got just what you need. We can help you. The Bible, if you've got your notes there, or our online notes list, has three distinct passages of spiritual gifts that the Lord gives. The Bible teaches that the Spirit gives a gift or gifts to all of us if you're truly a follower of Jesus. The Bible explains their usage. The Bible points out that we will be held accountable. What we have done as a church here is we have a course that we teach called SHAPE. SHAPE can help you to discover your gift or gifts. Can help you. And the people that teach the class can walk you through the process of how do you know if such and such is a gift or not. But you have to discover it. That means you have to put forth what? Effort. Then you can develop it. I didn't get super good at sharing my faith with people the first time. I remember the first person I shared with, Jesus, my heart. I said, okay, you know what I sounded like. The more I did it, the better I got, and so do you. So you discover it, then you develop it. Here at Grace Church, we will help you to use your gift in our church and in your community, wherever it is you live. So you have to discover it, develop it, and then the word that's always used is you dispense it. You have to do it every day. The more you use something, the better it gets. We use this in terms of athletics and weightlifting and all that. If you don't use it, you lose it. And your gift can become dormant if you're not doing it. And you have to wonder. When we use our gifts, we show love to God. When we use our gifts, we're helping others. And you have to ask yourself, if you don't know your gift, and if you're not using your gift, and you have this sort of attitude, this church, you know, I got a job I got to go to. That attitude makes me think, where is the reality of your faith? If you understand that God loves you so much, He not only created you, He saved you, He gifted you, He wants to use you, how could you possibly have an attitude like that? Our office door should have handprints all over it, little knuckle prints of people saying, teach me, help me to discover who God has made me to be, what my plan, what His plan is for my life, and then train me to use it. That's what you would expect. What is your gift? Or gifts. James 4:17. One of the verses that somebody showed me long time ago as I was developing my Christian life to some extent was James 4:17. If anyone, does that include you? If anyone then knows the good they ought to do, you know that God's given you a gift, you know He wants to use you, you know you have to discover, you know you have to develop, and then you got to dispense it. If you know the good you ought to do and doesn't do it, notice excuses aren't listed there, just as if you don't do it, whatever your excuse. Wow, look at the last few words. It is what? It's sin. That's called a sin of omission. Knowing what God wants you to do, and you, for whatever reason, you just choose not to. That's not on the pastor or the elders or the staff here. We've created a church environment to help you maximize your life. And if you don't, I'm not going to be at your side when you stand in front of the Lord. And he's going to go, let's replay that sermon series that was in April of, what was it, Michael? 2026. And then he'll just look you in the eye and say, what did you ever do with that? It's sin. What? It's sin for who? Them. You say, oh, you're making me feel guilty. Watch. Good. That's S. Here's the H. H is heart passion. Again, three passages listed, and here's the question to you. What do you really enjoy doing? Sitting in a chair, eating Twinkies, and drinking iced tea. Good. What do you like doing? Sports. What do you like doing? Making things. What do you like doing? Plowing land. What do you like doing? Sewing. Think of what you really like to do if it's just you. What would just turn your crank? What are you passionate about? This is so annoys me that people are not passionate. It's like you're all a bunch of you, meaning the world, you're passive. Let's have some passion in our life. Live as though life is a gift. Live as though we have to give an account. Live like we want to make a difference. That's passion. What are you passionate about? Two things when I came out of high school that I knew I wanted to do in my life is to teach history. I love history. Love everything about it. Most of you are bored out of your mind. That's okay. I wanted to be a teacher of history. And I wanted to coach. I wanted to coach. I messed up my life for a period of years. You all know the stories of stupid things I've done, just like the stupid things you've done. Isn't it amazing that 50 plus years after high school, reader, I'm teaching the Bible. The Bible, some would say, is what? History. 40 years of my life have been spent in some capacity coaching children or teenagers. Isn't it amazing what God does for you if you have a passion and you want to serve him? He will give you the delights of your heart, probably not the way you'd like them. But he will, because you're seeking him, because you want to serve him, he will use your heart passion to bring about life change in other people. Isn't that cool? That he will do that for you? So what is your heart passion? It's your emotional heartbeat. I get up in the morning, I'm thinking about Bible, I'm thinking about history, I'm thinking about how I can coach not only youth. I've coached for 45 years, people all around the world, pastors around America, and how to understand the life of Jesus. That was the desire of my heart, and he just went, okay, that's the desire of your heart, watch this. You're going to do it this way. And I'm happy about that. What's your heart passion? God wants to use you if you're passionate about it. God doesn't use passive people. When you think of Jesus, he was passionate over and over and over in Scripture. Many things. The two heartbeats of Jesus. For lost people, would you agree? And also people who were hurting. He used his life in those areas. Whatever turns you on emotionally in that sense, what gives you a great level of excitement, he wants to use, but he'll probably do it a little different than what you're thinking. And that's the fun. What's he going to do with my life today? Colin Paul and Matt Furman are two guys in our church. Most of you know them. Their passion is to help people. But uniquely, they want to help people that have struggled with maybe some poor decisions in life, and they've started a jail ministry and have been very successful in reaching people for Christ. Some of those people that have been incarcerated have come here to church and gotten saved. That's two people that wanted their lives to matter in a specific area. You say, well, I should be in jail, so I don't necessarily want to go there and preach to anybody. All right. What are you passionate about? God used them. Think about that. You have to look at your church. Now, you may be visiting, you go to another church. Look at your church and ask yourself, where am I ministering regularly in that church? Because your gift is not about you. Your gift is always to help other people. Where are you serving? Where are you ministering? And then you say, in my outside world, my workplace, my neighborhood, my family. Where am I making a difference there? George, raise your hand. George here has been, over the years, has been serving in several areas in the community over in Vermontville in the volunteer fire department. He served in terms of coaching and things like that. He's letting God use his life in areas of his passion. Would that be true? Where are you? That's community. Here's the A. A is your abilities. What natural talents, abilities do you have that can help other people? And we just shared those around the table, right? You say, I don't know how to use this thing that I like to do, this natural ability that I've got, like the card tricks and stuff. Our SHAPE class will help you to figure it out. If you've got an ability, use it within the church. Use it within your what? Community to try to influence people for Jesus. So we could go on. There's the letter P. We're going to have that come up here. Personality, style. We all, but these three verses, passages here, talk about the fact that we're all different. We're all unique. Somebody has figured this out. This is what the scientific world as a whole says. There are no two snowflakes alike, based on their studies. Think about that. What about the one that melted, we'll say. Okay, they say they're so unique, there's only one snowflake. Look at somebody right now and say, you're a flake. You're a flake. You realize that? You are unique. You're the only you there's ever been. We're a personality style. In our SHAPE class, look at this. This is what we teach. There are four basic temperaments. Now, I know it's hard for you to see the yellow up there, but it's called D, I, S, and C. Where the line comes down in the middle of this, the I, S are people-oriented. You just love being around people. Talk. You like hanging around with people. The D and the C are task. They're task-oriented. Just give me a job to do and get out of my way. Now, some of you could be a combination. A D, I, the upper half, you are extroverted. The C and the S, you're a little introverted. Doesn't make you a bad person, but you're more introverted. You're the only you there's ever been. We're all a blend of that. Each of us are a unique blend. And how you're wired in your personality will help you figure out what ministry in the church and in the community you could be in or should be in. Again, our SHAPE class teaches that. Now look at this, experiences. I wanted to get to this picture. Experiences, again, passages. Now check out the picture, study it. Look at the difference between mom and dad's face. Are you inviting them to your class to teach you how to raise children? Maybe. But at first glance, probably what? You're going to think twice about it. All of us have had experiences of pain, of joy, of success, and failure. And God wants to use those experiences to help others deal with the stuff that life has brought them. One of the greatest passages of Scripture you could ever read is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just read that. Because I read that and I thought, wow, all the pain, all the heartache, all the disappointment I've had in my life, God can use that in somebody else's life. Think about that. Our SHAPE class, again, teaches you all of this. And here's the D. D stands for dedication. None of your gifts will really ever develop unless you're committed, unless you're dedicated to that. Would you agree? It's that way in every area of our life. This is David Rush. David Rush has, again, a unique talent. I can tell you this. I'll guarantee this. No one in this room can do what David Rush has done. There's nobody on planet Earth who can do what David Rush is going to show you. He is a Guinness World Book record holder for a particular type of juggling, and it's not chainsaws, okay? The world record, before you see this video, was 39 times. 39 times of what? You'll see. He does 49 in 1 minute. These are juggling tricks. He does 49. Now you tell me how dedicated you have to be. Watch this. What do you have to do? You got to practice your spiritual gift in the church and where? In your community. The choice is yours. God wants to use your life because He made you who you are for this period of time to do what only you can do. Think about that. Only you can do what He's placed you here to do. It's not my job to do what He's gifted you to do. You say, how do I figure that out? Aaron Smith, stand up. Aaron, what class do you teach? In shape. Thank you, Aaron. You'll want to practice a more passionate response there. All right. Aaron and soon to be a new teacher will be teaching you how to passionately use your gifts and your talents. All right. Here's what we're going to have you do. We did this last week. We're doing it this week. We're going to do it next week. We have said as a church, if we're going to grow, if we're going to continue to reach people, we need to maximize the workers of this church, the people that God has placed here. Last week, we had three different areas of need in the church. This week, we have two areas of need to bring to your attention. And here's what I would say. We would like to have people serve and minister in these areas to make a spiritual difference. There's all kinds of subcategories, all levels of commitment. So if you're not currently serving in an area of the church, over here we have Clubhouse, that is our children's ministry, our nursery, etc. All various ways that you can serve there, from doing a craft to bringing something for the kids to eat to teaching, etc. And everything we offer, we train you to do. Over here, we have the Bridge. The Bridge is our teen ministry and various ways that you could be involved in there. Now, here's what you've got to understand. Those two age groups right there, 80% of all people on planet Earth who become Christians, what percentage? 80 do so while they're in those years, children or teenagers. That means only 20% of people are not saved as a child or as a teenager. Now you take, there's 20%. 15% of those people, of the total, over here, they become a Christian past the age of 18, but they first heard about Jesus in their children's ministry or in their teen ministry. 95% of people who become Christians do so because of the influence of somebody like yourself serving in a church, ministering to them while they're younger. I'm a rare person. I'm one of the 5%. Somebody who becomes a Christian after the age of 18 never heard about Jesus while I was a child or while I was a teenager. I am a unicorn in that sense. Some of you are. If you want to make a super huge difference for the kingdom, if you're not serving, ministering, that would be one of the two areas right there. And there's all kinds of